Hello, everybody. How are you? Did you have a long week? 3-day week for some, hey? 3-day Anzac Day. Woohoo, RDO, Monday. Okay, so let's just pray again. Steve prayed, and we're going to pray again. It's always good to pray, isn't it? Lord, we just we thank you for tonight. Lord, we thank you for that word that Paul read about rend the heavens and come down. Father, without you, we're nothing. We can't do anything without your presence, without your anointing, without your grace. So, Father, we do. We pray with great confidence, Lord, that you're our Father and that you're a good God. Father, that you desire good things for your children. And, Father, we ask tonight in faith, Lord, with expectant faith, Lord, in the precious blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, Father, that your name would be glorified in our midst, and we ask for your anointing and your power to be made manifest in our lives tonight in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Okay, so tonight what I want to do for the talk, I want to talk about what it is to walk in the Spirit, walk in the Holy Spirit, and I'll see how far we get with the talk. I've put it together. I don't know how long it'll go for, wherever it'll go. But we'll see how we'll start and see where it finishes. But I want to look at a scripture that some of you might know, some of you may not know, but it's in Galatians 5:26. And it says, who knows what it is? Come on, Mark. You're falling asleep already. You were falling asleep already. You better turn the lights on. You were falling asleep already. Wow. Shakara. The Lord might have a word for you later. That's what usually happens. Arise, O sleeper. No, that's not the scripture.
Is it if we live by the Spirit?
Yes. Yes. Yes, Mark? Yes. If we live by the Spirit, Galatians 5:26, Paul says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step. Tune. Who said that? Tune, no, step with the Spirit. Or another translation says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Walk? Can anyone walk? Show me how you walk. That's good. Okay, you can sit down now. That's great. No, it's not running by the Spirit. It's walking. Okay. So in the light of this, I want to break it down into three areas, right? The first is the Holy Spirit being the central character. So in that scripture, it says, since we live by the Holy Spirit. So we're living by Him, the Holy Spirit. Let us keep in step or let us walk by the Spirit. So the three points I want to bring out tonight, if I can, is the Holy Spirit being the central character, our spirit, our personal spirit. If the Holy Spirit is the central character, and if we are to live by the Spirit, that means we have a spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's a spirit. Can you see him? Where's the Holy Spirit? Where is he? Yeah, but can you see him with your physical eyes? No, that means he's a spirit. So he's a spiritual being. So if we're to live by the Holy Spirit, that's saying something about who we are. We have a spiritual. What do we have, Nath? We have a spirit. Okay. So we're to live by the Spirit. So the second point I want to talk about is our spirit, the ruling center. Now, this is sort of a bit of a teaching about the Holy Spirit, but how he communicates and how he manifests his life in our spirit. And the third point is obviously walking in the Spirit. So by way of introduction, though, they're the three points. By way of introduction, I want to talk about one other little thing to bring it all into context, and it's what it is to be renewed by the Holy Spirit. Now, this is what I felt tonight. Whether it happens or not, it's going to depend a lot on me and you. Ha ha. You and me. Because God moves by faith. So when we bring ourselves into a position where God is, and we yield our heart to him, meaning yielding is desire. When I tune my desire to a person, if my wife was here, and I know she loves me because she married me, right? And I start to tune my desire to her, and I start to say, you're nice, or you're this, or you're that. What happens is her heart starts to move towards my heart, yeah? Because my desire is focused on her. Now, you can attract the presence of God. by your desire. Because your desire is a part of your spiritual life, and your spiritual life is a part of your will. And what your will yields to is what you receive. So if I'm in a relationship with my wife and I never desire her, then how would you think the relationship would be? Not very good. We still might be married, but we wouldn't have much communication because my heart isn't moved with desire towards her. So a very simple thing in the spiritual life. When you start to move with God towards desire, your desire towards Him, so your thoughts, your affections, you're attuning yourself to Him. That's what the scripture calls yielding to God. It's mean being soft to His presence, soft and sensitive to Him. When you start to do that, you attract His presence. Isn't it simple? Isn't it simple? But it's not, because we'll talk why. Well, it's not. So I want to talk about what it is to be renewed by the Spirit firstly, just before we go into those 3 points. And I want to look at two scriptures. But what I felt tonight was that the Lord wants to bring some of you into a place where you experience His presence in a deeper way. And again, that comes by your desire for God, and it comes by you're attuning yourself to God, and it comes by the way you hear the Word of God. Because the Word of God has power. Otherwise, it's just good history, right? It's nothing. But the Word of God has creative power. And when we attune ourselves to that and we open our spirit to that, it makes things happen. Things are created in us. And the first thing that happens in us, we're recreated into His image and likeness. So the first scripture I want to look at is Ephesians. I've wrecked my talk now. Ephesians 4, 23 to 24. And it says this. It says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind and clothe yourself with the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So this is what it says. Be renewed in the of your mind. So the scripture is asking us to do something. God's asking you tonight to do something. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So it's saying that your spirit needs to be renewed. Something is amiss in us for the scriptures to say this. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind and clothe yourself with the new self. God wants to bring something new into our spirit. He's saying, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Clothe yourself with the new self created to be like God. So God is saying that your spirit was created for Him and for Him alone. And He wants to renew it like Himself. Wow. Is that amazing or not? He wants to renew it like Himself by His very presence in your spirit. In your heart. He wants to do a miracle that we can't do. He wants to give us something in us that we can't in ourselves achieve by ourselves. We can't be holy. We can't be Christian. We can't be good in the context of like God without God doing it in us first. So the scripture is exalting us in this scripture. Be renewed. You be renewed. You attune yourself to what God's offering you. Because what God gives us is a gift, because God is love. And love always looks out of itself to make a gift of itself for us to receive. Wow. So when Jerry and I are married, woohoo. Our relationship, if it's self-giving, it produces life. If it's just self-centered, it doesn't produce anything. It actually produces death because I'm in isolation. And I can never come into my fullness until I'm in relationship with somebody else, because that's the nature of God. He's a Trinity. He's totally self-giving, totally self-pouring out Himself to the other. And in that is life. So God is saying here, you be renewed. So something's amiss in us. Now, we're all in a process of this renewal. So all of us here, I assume, a Christian. So we're all in this process of renewal, but the Word of God says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Clothe yourself with the new self created to be like God in true righteousness. True righteousness and holiness. So we can only be truly righteous and holy if it's God, yeah? Can I be truly holy myself? Wow, come and check my house out and you'll see if I'm holy. I'm not very. Okay, but in God I can. All things are possible. Okay, so now in this scripture that we just read in Ephesians 4:23, I want you to look at the words. We haven't got the words on the screen, we can't. But if you want to study it later in your Bible, you can. Here the word spirit is written with a small s. Small s, not a big s, little s. Okay, it's written with a small s, and rightly so, because it indicates our spirit. It's talking about our spirit. The most intimate part of us. The spirit of our mind, which scripture generally calls the heart. So in the scripture, you see this interchange of words, spirit and heart. And it's talking about the most central part of us that has communion with God. This central place in us. And this is what, when we position ourselves in his presence, this is when he comes down and he renews. He does a miracle, okay? So here the word spirit is a small s, and rightly so, because it's us. It's talking about us. The word spirit indicates that part of ourselves that needs to be renewed in order for us to resemble Christ. So the scripture says, I think it's in Romans 8:28 somewhere, that God conforms us to the likeness of his son. God wants to make me like Jesus. Woo! Long hair, beard. Can you see it? Yeah! He wants to fill me with his glory. No, he does. That's what he wants me to do. He still wants me to be Richard. But he wants to fill me with the life of God in me. The life of God, limitless love pouring into me. What would it look like? What would it look like? I'd give Steve a cuddle. I'd cuddle him. Oh, he's beautiful. Because the love of God would be pouring out of me. That's what would happen. That's what God's offering us. Oh, what are we, baptized in lemon juice? What is it? We're baptized with his love. This is what the scripture says. It's exalting us that you be renewed with my life, be resemble Christ. Now, you might have different gifts. You might be called differently, but God wants you to resemble his image. Whoa. And his likeness. And that's what we lost at the fall. We lost the likeness of God because the glory of God was separated us when we chose ourselves. Love doesn't choose itself. It pours out itself as a gift. When we choose ourselves, we cut ourselves off from the life of God. And God's life can't flow through. When we choose ourselves, we're cut off from the life of God. And God's trying to grab our attention. He's saying, this is what I want to do. I want to create a new self, created like me, to be filled with my life, that the glory of God can be restored again in you. Because it's already there because you're a Christian. The Holy Spirit's already in you in fullness. He's not very far away. He's right there. But this is what happens in the place of renewal. So God's positioning us for a new heart. This is what the scripture means. He's positioning us for his glory. God wants to reestablish his glory in his people. Wow, what would it look like if the glory of God was here at Seven Hills tonight? What would it look like? Who can tell me? What would it look like? The presence of God would be so tangible that the life of God and the love of God would renew us, and not only renew us, it would renew everyone we meet. Paul said in the scriptures in Romans, Corinthians, I think, he said he was compelled to preach the gospel because love has to pour itself out. It has to tell people the good news of the gospel. Because it means good news. Otherwise, it's bad news. And I don't like bad news. It's good news. Sorry, I've lost my voice again. I always lose my voice here. I think it's because I shout. Okay. So the word spirit's small s, right? Renewing ourselves means striving then, or not striving in a sense of striving as in trying to do it ourselves, but it means more positioning ourselves to have the same attitude as Christ. Now, what was Christ's attitude in Philippians 2:5, which we won't read? But Jesus he was humbly dependent on God. God was his resource in everything in his life. He only did, the scripture says, what he's seen the Father doing. He only spoke what he heard the Father speak. He had this relationship with his Father that was totally dependent on him, and he was humble. He was dependent on God. And that's what love does. So renewing ourselves means positioning ourselves to have the same attitude as that as Christ. It means positioning ourselves for this new heart. Positioning our heart in his presence. I can't position Mark's heart in God's presence. I can preach the word of God, but I can't position your heart tonight in his presence. But you can, because God's given you a will to desire. He's given you what you desire. What the scripture says, whatever a man thinks in his heart, so he is. See, the heart is this place where you unlock desire. So if you start to desire God, and this is what the mystics talk about, the spiritual writers talk about it's just the heart aligning to God. And when it aligns to God, the glory of God fills it with the capacity where you hear them say, you know, God, stay your hand, because if you give me any more, I'm going to die. It's too much. But God pours his abundant life into our spirit that we would reflect him. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. So renewing ourselves means positioning our heart in his presence. So the scripture clarifies the meaning and the aim of our experience. The renewal then, as we've read in Ephesians 4:23, should be above all an interior one, our spirit. Remember the scripture, since we live by the spirit, so if God's a spirit, we have a spirit, let us keep in step with the spirit. So the renewal that God wants to give us tonight is an interior one, one of the heart in communion with God. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. Wow. Amen? Okay. So God is concerned about the heart of his people. He's concerned about the love of his people. He's concerned about your heart in communion with him. Everything else is subordinate to that. Everything else, because God wants you to have an encounter with his life. Everything else is subordinate to that. It functions to support that priority, for you to have an encounter with God. God wants you personally to have an encounter in your life with him. Everything else supports that priority. Teaching, the word of God, the scriptures, the church, the sacraments, all those things support that priority for God, for us to come into his presence, for us to experience his life, to us to come into the spirit of adoption where God is our Father, that everything else supports that. All fruitfulness in the Christian life then flows from this relationship. Everything that's fruitful in our lives then, if we have communion with God, flows from intimacy with him, with this life that's already in us. Wow, it's incredible that the life of God could be in us in that capacity where our life could flow with his life and his presence. Now, God wants to, there's an anointing on some people tonight to make a shift. That's what I feel in the Holy Spirit. Some of you are going to experience God in a different way. And there's a presence of God for us to move into that. For some of you, for the first time, where there's something that happens here in your head. Just from the scriptures, as we read the scriptures, because God wants to do it. I'm just a happy person to convey the message. That's the good thing, because the scripture says that I didn't make this up. It's not the Gospel of Richard, thank God. It'd probably be a plumbing manual, how to unblock somebody's toilet or something like that. But this is good news. It's telling the story of what the scripture says. So all fruitfulness flows from this. It's a connection with God from the heart. And Jesus said in John 15:5, apart from me, you can do nothing. You can have no spiritual life apart from God. So the scripture that we just read in Ephesians 4:23-24 is not enough, however, to explain the renewal in the spirit. It highlights our obligation to renew ourselves, be renewed. This is what the scripture is encouraging us. You do something. As well as what must be renewed. What must be renewed? The heart, the spirit. The spirit in us, the center of us. But it doesn't tell us how to be renewed. Ephesians 4:23. It doesn't tell us how. It tells us you do it. You be renewed. You put on the new self, like God, created to be like God. But it doesn't tell us how to be renewed. So the second text that I want to read is from Titus chapter 3, verse 5. And it says this. And it addresses the issue of how to be renewed. It says this, that God saved us not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy. So what did it say? God saved us not because of anything we had done, but according to his mercy. God saved us not because of anything We do, but because of his mercy. So the initiative is with God, yeah? Can everyone say that? Put up your hand. The initiative of, yeah, no, only one person heard it. So the initiative of God. God saved us, the scripture says, not because of anything we had done, but according to his mercy. So the initiative is with him. So he's looking for now your desire. The initiative's there. He saved us. Now listen to how he saved us. Through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Now here in this scripture, here the Spirit has a capital S. Shh. Big S, is that right? Back that way? Can't do it. It's the opposite. Sorry. So here the Spirit in the scripture has a capital S because it points to the Spirit of God. So the first one I read has small spirit. Your spirit needs to be renewed. Now this is big spirit, and big spirit wants to renew small spirit. Big spirit wants to make small spirit capital S in him. Not you spirit, but small spirit in him, which makes you like him. Oh, shakaraba. Hallelujah. Okay. So here the Spirit points to the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Now, the preposition by, be renewed by the Holy Spirit, points to the instrument agent. It points to the name we give to our experience. And it points to something very exact. It's a renewal by the work of the Holy Spirit. So the first scripture is saying your spirit needs to be renewed to resemble God. The second scripture is saying that he's going to do it. Yeah? So can you see the two, the marrying of the two? One is your response. The other is God's initiative to save you. And now he's going to renew you and he's going to make you like God. Oh, wow, that's pretty small. I'll go and watch the footy tonight. He's going to make you like him. Yay, I got one, yay. He's going to make you like God. Is that boring? Is that boring? Yeah, cool. Thanks. He's going to do it, and he's going to make you like him. That's what the first scripture said, remember? He's going to create you to be like God. Amen. Thank you. I got an excitement. He's going to create you to be like God. So it's a renewal in which God, then, is the principal author. He's the protagonist. Does everyone know what the protagonist means? It means the central person in a play. I've said it before here, I think. So it means that God is the... He's the best actor, yeah, in the lead role. That's right. It means God is the principal author. He's the protagonist. That it means that God, it says in Revelations 21:5 that God says, I am making all things new. So it's he's doing it in us. He's doing it in us. Psalm 104, verse 30 says, my spirit, and he only can renew the face of the earth. So it's his initiative, but it's our response. Now, this may seem like a small thing, a simple a distinction, but it actually involves a real revolution, right? Because what happens from our fallen nature, our lives are centered on ourselves. And the revolution that this is saying is, if the Holy Spirit renews us, and he's the one that's going to renew us, he's asking for a revolution now where our whole lives are orientated around the person of the Holy Spirit. He becomes the central character in our lives. It's a complete reversal that people must undergo in order to experience a genuine renewal. That the Holy Spirit becomes the central character in my life. He's a person now in my life where my life comes from. Can you see the challenge for you? Because if I ask myself the question, who's the central person in my life? Who is it? It'd be myself. That's the truth, and that's where we struggle. That's where we need the breakthrough, because my life, I want my life to evolve around me, all about me. I want people to like me. I want people to love me. I want people to give me gifts. I want people to tell me how good I am. I want people to tell me all good things about me, about myself. And what that does, that's a part of the fallen nature, but what that does, it keeps us bound to the earth, and we can never move in the realm of the Spirit. That's the difference. So what happens when the Holy Spirit becomes a protagonist, when he becomes a central character in your life, what happens? You start to move in his realm. And you start to see as he sees, and you start to hear as he hears. It's incredible. There's no dignity given to any man like that. There's this capacity in all of us because we want to be, you know, when I was a kid, I always wanted to be Superman. I think some of you kids want to be Batman, you know, like Lego Batman or whatever. But that desire in us to something else is being put in us by the Spirit of God, because we have this supernatural dimension in us where we want to be, have the ability to be something that we're not. Now, it takes this revolution to understand how to move from one to the other. Now, those that knew science, we all know the story of Ptolemy. Ptolemy was a scientist for about 1,500 years. Oh, well, I'll go to Copernican, okay? So there was a revolution called the Copernican Revolution. Copernican was a scientist in, I think, the 1550s, Copernicus. And what happened? He discovered that our solar system evolves around the sun. So up until that time, for the past 1,500 years, there was a fellow named Ptolemy. Scientists thought that the solar system revolved around the Earth. And they call it the Copernican Revolution, where he understood now that the solar system revolves around the sun. And that's what has to happen to us. Instead of our lives evolving around ourselves, there has to be a revolution where we start to evolve our lives around God. When we start to do that, that simple thing, how's it happen? Happens by desire. What do you desire? Do you desire yourself more than you desire God? That's a really important point. If you desire yourself more than you desire God, which I do, I need the Holy Spirit to help me. As I start to desire God, I start to move into the supernatural realm. And I start to see things supernaturally. Okay, so the central character then in this is the Holy Spirit. You got that? Central character in that when the Holy Spirit's the central character, we start to see things as he sees. Now, my first point was the Holy Spirit, the central character. Why does the Holy Spirit need to be the central character? Well, I've talked about that a fair bit, but I just want to say this for a little bit more. It's more than just renewal. It's more than the Holy Spirit just wants to renew us. It's simply because our spirit, as we read in Ephesians 4:23, the most intimate part of us needs communion with God. Our spirit was created for communion with God, to come in to its full dignity of who we were created to be. If we don't come into communion with God, we can never come into the fullness of what God's called us to be. We can never come into the fullness or the trueness of the dignity of sonship, of knowing God truly as our Father. So simply our spirit needs communion with God. When our spirit is in communion with God, we simply reflect in our soul, our mind, my will, my desire, my emotions. I simply reflect the likeness of God. Wouldn't that be a nice place? If I met someone who was in communion with God and their desire, their mind, their will and emotions reflected his likeness, what would it be like? It'd be like I'm meeting Jesus, wouldn't it? And that's what it is. That's all it is. When our spirit is in communion with God, we simply reflect in our soul, our mind, our emotions and will, his divine likeness. Our spirit is like a window, right? Our spirit, you see up the back of the hall there, they've got reflective mirrors. But our spirit is like a window. It reflects what it gazes on. So if you've ever been in a room in a nice day, we have this room upstairs there in the sun. And in winter, the sun comes through and warms that room. And the sun is reflected through that window. Well, your soul reflects what it looks at. That's what the spiritual writers talk about. Whatever the soul looks at, it reflects. If it's looking at the sun, it reflects the light of the sun. Now, if you're like my window is dirty, then do you think the reflections come through fully? No, they don't. So the soul reflects what it looks upon. Now, one of the early church fathers said this, reflecting on this, he said in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, he said, "We are spirit, soul, and body," which the scripture says, we're spirit, soul, and body. The soul, when it follows the Spirit of God in communion with him, it's raised up to be like God. That's what he says. when our soul, our mind, will, and emotions follow the Spirit of God, so our spirit's been renewed, our spirit's in communion with God, when we start to move with desire towards that, what happens is, what Irenaeus said, is that we become like him. We reflect his nature, which is pretty exciting. But he said, most of us, because we don't desire that, we stay the same. So we can be Christian by what we do. We can even come to church. We can even do what we do. But if the heart doesn't come into communion with God, what happens? The life of God doesn't energize the soul. And what happens? It just becomes a religious exterior and not communion with God. So without the Holy Spirit being the central character, living the Christian life is a total impossibility. It's an impossibility to do. Okay, the second point, and I won't go for too long tonight, and we'll pray. But the second point is our heart. So I'm going to teach you a little bit about our heart, because it's how we walk with the Holy Spirit. Remember, the heart needs to be renewed. The Spirit of God comes and renews our heart. Now, our heart then, that needs to be renewed, our spirit is the ruling center of our life. So God, the Holy Spirit, wants to renew this part that's broken, this part that needs renewal. So it's important for my spirit, the ruling center, to be renewed. Why? Because God created me. When God created you and me, he created you to live from your spirit. Okay, so this is why the scripture is exhorting us, why it's so important to be renewed. Because if you're not renewed in your spirit, you're not really living the Christian life. Because when you start to live your life in the spirit, with God's spirit, what happens is you're empowered with his presence. So God created me to live from my spirit, to receive divine knowledge there, to receive the life of God there, to live from a renewed heart and from and my mind and my emotions and my will to support that life. Does everyone understand that or not? Is that understandable or not really? Haha. So God created me to live from my spirit. Now, do you live from your spirit? I'm trying to get where yous are. Where are you? Do we live from our spirit? Or do we live from, what do we live from? What are some of the things we live from? The flesh, you said that. No, it's a good question. What do we live from each day? This is a really important point, because we can just say what we say, but again, it's where we desire. God created me. This is why he wants to renew my spirit, because he wants me to live from my spirit. Now, what happened from the fall? I don't live from my spirit. I live from, someone said it, the flesh. I live from a fallen nature. But what happens is, because God created me to live from my spirit and to receive life and love from him alone, when I'm not receiving life and love from God alone, from my spirit, and I'm cut off from that life, what happens is I still want life and love, but I look for it everywhere else, because I have this insatiable desire in me to be filled with life and love, because God created me for himself. So when God renews me, and this is getting back to like what it is to walk in the spirit, what happens? God created me to live from my spirit. When I start to live from my spirit in union with the Holy Spirit, he fills me with divine knowledge, which is a gift. He fills me with a knowledge, a supernatural knowledge. And then what happens is that knowledge then starts to flow into my soul, my mind. So I get revelation. I understand truth. It flows into my will, my desiring power. I start to desire God. And it flows into my emotions. I receive joy. I start to feel the presence of God in my body. But I don't feel it necessarily by my senses. I feel it in my spirit. And it works out into my body. So as a result, God wants me to live from the ruling center of my life, my spirit. He wants my spirit to be in communion with God. When my spirit was cut off from the life of God, its life source through sin, spiritually I died, physically I didn't. And as a result of this death, my soul was cut off from the life of God. Now my soul became the ruling center. It was still looking for gratification, but now because it was cut off from God's life, it's looking for self-gratification. There's this war going on inside me for a craving. And then that's what the scriptures call the passions. The passions are looking for self-gratification. And only God can set me free. So when God created me, he created me out of the overflow of his love that I would continually receive moment by moment from his presence. It's pretty bizarre. Yeah, do you understand that? No. Moment by moment. That's how he created us, to live moment by moment in his presence, to receive his life and his love, and that would reflect through his glory. Okay, now the last point I want to talk about is this. Walking in the Spirit. This is what I wanted to talk about from Galatians, about walking in the Spirit. So what is it to walk in the Spirit? Can anyone give me an answer? You want to have a shot? Have a go? Just simply? It's very simple. It's not hard. Seth's having a go up there. Yeah, that's a good answer. But what do you think it is to walk? What do you think it is to walk by the Spirit? Remember the scripture that said, since we live by the Spirit. So what do you think it means to live by the Spirit? That means the Holy Spirit lives where? In us? So he's living in us. What does it mean to walk with him? Yeah. So what do you think if I live with Jerry, but I don't walk with her? I'm isolated, yeah. So does the Holy Spirit live in you? Now, this is what the Holy Spirit wants to do. So he wants to unlock his presence, because his presence is already there. You don't have to strain and strive for it. It's already in you. The presence of God's in you in fullness. But it's whether we walk with him. Yeah? You know? It's whether we walk with his presence. So again, putting it back really simple, how I walk with him is what I desire. If I desire him, what happens? My spirit starts to receive divine knowledge. I start to receive in my spirit. I'm renewed. I start to be renewed in his image. And then I start to hear his voice very clearly. It's clearly. And now I'm not saying an audible voice, because I'm picking it up by the Spirit. But what happens is I start to desire the things that God desires because of my heart. Now, this is the key, because what happens is, that's what you have to do for you to be born into the spiritual realm. You have to move from your desire to God. That's all he's saying. So to walk by the Spirit, the scripture says, since we live by the Spirit, since the Spirit of God's in us, let us also walk by the Spirit. So if I'm walking by the Spirit, very practically, what would it look like if I'm having a conversation with my wife? What would it look like if I'm in a conversation? And this is what the scripture says, that I'm to continually receive from his presence. So now my spirit is sensitized to God. It's in this place of renewal. And I'm talking to my wife and I'm sensitive too. So what's informing my spirit? This is very practical, right? The love of God's informing my spirit. So my conversation is sweet. Yeah? This is very practical. Now, does this happen automatically? This is what I'm trying to tell you. Does it happen automatically? No. Does my relationship with my wife happen automatically? No. Do I have to work at it? So it's the same thing with the Spirit of God. So you know, if the Spirit of God now, over your life, he'd be speaking to you. He would be speaking over your life. Are we attuned to it? Some of you may be. Some of you may have a sense. But he's always speaking. Because he's always informing us of who we are. He's always doing that. And it's about not only walking, not only living by him, but it's about walking. And this is where it becomes a lifestyle. So very simply, to live the Christian life, we need this spiritual life. Otherwise, it's impossible to live. The Christian spiritual life, it's spiritual, that is to say, it's a life lived with the Holy Spirit. So he's a central character now. He introduces me to Jesus. He makes Jesus Lord. He gives me an understanding of what sin is. When I first came to the Lord, I had no understanding of what sin was. And when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I had this deep conviction of what what I was doing in my life. Had no understanding of it at all. The Holy Spirit introduces me to Christ and he takes me into the Father's presence. That's what he does. It's amazing what he does as we yield our life to him. So this is what the scripture says. So it's a life lived in the Holy Spirit. Now the spiritual life is a walk of faith. It's yielding our will to the love of God. It's becoming aware of his presence and his life that's already within me. It's not like straining. It's not, God, where are you? He's here in us. But the question we ask ourselves, this is a question that I ask myself, whose presence am I more aware of? Am I more aware of my presence or am I more aware of him? And this is what it is to be, have him as a central character. And that's a, that, that's a, that, that's this walk. So it's becoming aware of his presence and his life in us. Now, our difficulty to walk in the spirit lies in the area of the soul, which we've sort of talked about, because it's been affected by sin. That is in our mind, our will and our emotions and our personality. That's where we struggle with God. That's where we find it difficult. That's where we find it, our difficulties to live from our spirit, because our mind is telling us things. Our emotions are informing us from what we're thinking. And that's what we get caught to do. We're not being informed by the Spirit of God. But listen, the Spirit of God, he's a person. He's real. He's God, but he's a person. So this isn't a theology. This is an encounter with a person. And he's God. And what happens is as I desire, he fills me with his life. That's what we were created for in the beginning. This is the life of God we were created for. This is what we lost at the fall. This is what the Holy Spirit is trying to reinstate in us. So but if I yield to the Spirit of God and my heart is soft towards him, I won't go there. I won't go there. Because I want to read you some little bits here. I want to just teach you how to walk with the Spirit because it will change your life. You and I are so used to our fallen nature. We're so used to it. We're totally used to it. If someone wrongs us, we want to get even. It's a fallen nature, right? If someone has more than us, we're easily jealous. It's easy for us to hate. The flesh nature has come into our inner life. See, this is what happened at the fall. The flesh nature, cut off from the life of God, has come into our inner life of its passions. And this is what the Holy Spirit wants to shift us from. Just a little shift where we start to desire him and yield to him. But as we learn to yield, and the word yield there just means to be soft to his presence, soft to his voice. As we learn to yield to the Spirit of God, we start to walk in his presence now. This is what it says, walk in the Spirit. We live by the Spirit, also walk by the Spirit. We start to walk by his presence. This doesn't come by striving after God's presence, but it comes by being aware of who I am and who God is within me. He's already within me. As I start to yield to him, he starts to make me like himself. It's just so simple, but it's difficult because of our passions and because of the fallen nature, because we're yielding to all other things. So in my own power, my own nature, I cannot overcome the sinful nature and the selfishness which is inside of me. Self cannot get rid of self. I can't do it in my own strength. All I can do is manage my sin, and it's exhausting. I can't overcome my nature in myself, my selfishness, my self-centeredness, my anger, my passions in myself. I can't do it. I need a greater power, the Holy Spirit, to come and live inside and renew me to be the life of God in me. And when God comes in me, he rules me with the law of love and freedom. He's a father that loves me. He understands me. He understands my weaknesses. And as I start to yield to him, he starts to give me his life in that exchange. So I don't have to get close to God in the sense of trying to find him because he already lives inside me. Isn't it incredible? He's already there. It's an amazing truth. Now, I'm just going to finish with this one little point just to keep... just sort of drive home the point about living with the Spirit. Now, I don't have to... Now, this is one thing we get caught in about feeling. Now, I just want to talk about feeling, and then I'm going to finish, right, very, very, very shortly. We don't have to feel him to know that he's there. Because feeling, again, is in the lower part. You've got your higher part of your soul, and you got your lower part of your soul. The Holy Spirit's in our spirit, which is in the higher part. And what happens when his life's there, sometimes it can overflow into our feelings, like well-being. We feel happy. We feel well. But it does. I don't have to feel him for him to be there. The scripture says that in Hebrews 13:5, it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The scripture tells us he's already there. But because he's there, because the Holy Spirit lives in me, I have every right to be able to sense him. Now, I sense him in my spirit. Sometimes it might override into my emotions or my feeling, but it doesn't depend on that at all because it's a higher part. So, for me to be able to sense the Holy Spirit, how that's developed is in practicing his presence by desire. Again, I'm desiring him, I'm hearing him, I'm walking with him, and then he starts to inform me. Now, am I always aware of him being there? No. Is everyone aware of him there in you tonight? No. Even I'm not at the moment. I can't feel him, have no sense of him. But does it mean he's there? Not there? No, he's there. Because when he starts to move, he starts to inform you. It's funny, you know, the other day certain situations happen. And I went to bed at night and I had some disturbing dreams. Not they weren't anything bad or just disturbed. I was had all these scenarios going through my dreams and I was really anxious. And then as I woke up and come out of my sleep, I felt anxious and I heard the Spirit of God speak to me. And wow, mate, it changed everything. Just a simple word, I heard him speak, just a whisper in my spirit. And it changed my whole countenance. Because when I wake up, I had all this anxiety from these certain situations. And the Spirit of God spoke to me, and my whole countenance changed. And he showed me just from a couple of words, this is how the Word of God has creative power. Because when he spoke a couple of words, I started to see all the situations and seeing them all in their place. Just by a couple of words that he was with me. And that's what he does. So am I aware of him being there? No, not always. But the question I should ask, am I aware of him being there or am I aware of myself? That's the question that we should ask ourselves and therein lies the answer. The answer to most of our trouble is in the spiritual life, and in our walk as a Christian, we're more aware of ourselves than him. And that's all prayer is. Prayer is just moving your desire from yourself to God to get in contact with him. Now, when you get in contact with God in prayer or in worship or in anything, when God becomes the equation, it gets exciting because then he speaks and we come into our identification of who we are in him. And then we start to become a co-laborer or a co-worker with his kingdom. And this is incredible what God does. So God's a redeemer. Remember the scripture I read at the start? He saved us because of anything we had done. So now we're in line with God. He saves through us. So we pray for the sick and we see him healed. We do the work of the kingdom because we're in partnership with him. Now he's a greater partner, but he's looking for us to come in line with his life so that we can do what he's asked us to do in the earth. Now that's what it is. To walk in the Spirit. Is it easy? No, it's not. Because we've in a fallen nature where we have struggles and we look for God to break through. But that's the truth of the Word of God. The truth of the Word of God is that God wants to renew you to be like God. And the Holy Spirit wants to be the central character to do it. But what he asks us to do, you be renewed, you desire him, and he'll fill you with his life. Now, to walk in the Spirit, just in conclusion, to walk in the Spirit is to be aware of the Holy Spirit living in me, allowing him to conform me to the likeness of Jesus. Now, what I want to do, just as we finish, I want to ask you four questions which will help you to align ourselves to God helps me to align ourselves to God. And the four questions are this. What are the obstacles in your life, if you're honest with yourself tonight? Because I believe for if we, from our desire, aligning ourselves to God, if we align ourselves to God, He'll do so. What the Holy Spirit does, He does something that we can't do. That's what He does. He does something in us that we can't do. He gives us this spiritual capacity to come into His presence. And that's what He does, but what He asks us to do is align ourselves and to soften our hearts to Him. So if you ask yourself the question, what are the obstacles in your life to prevent that prevent the Holy Spirit being the central character in your life? What are the obstacles in your life that prevent the Holy Spirit being the central character or the one who's in control? Who's in control of your life? Is it you or is it the Holy Spirit? And what are those obstacles that you know, you don't have to dig them up, the ones that you know, because as you surrender that to God, He'll start to move on your life. I guarantee. You surrender, He'll start to move because He won't override our will, our free will. Because it's desire. It's about love. It's about relationship. Second question is, does the idea of letting go and allowing God to have full control make you nervous? Does it? Does the idea of letting go and allowing God to have full control over your life make you nervous? Can you really trust Him? Is He really going to give you what you want? Can God be trusted? Well, sometimes that's a hard thing for people because relationships that have been primary in their life have broken trust in their life, and you really can't trust that God's a loving Father, that He really has your best interest. And that's what it's been like in my life. I really haven't believed sometimes because of certain things that happen in my life where I really don't believe that God really has my best interest as a father. So does it make you nervous if you have to lose control to give the Holy Spirit control, if He's the central character? Now, you might say, oh, yeah, I'll make the Holy Spirit the central character. But then what does that mean? That means when we walk, we're walking with Him now. So it's easy to say, but when I go out there and I start talking to someone and I go out there and say, oh, Mark, did you hear what Paul did? Oh, he was an idiot, eh? Blah, blah, blah. So who have I aligned myself to? Not the Holy Spirit. Because as I'm attuned to Him, see, what happens is as I attune to Him, He empowers me. He gives me the power to overcome sin. He gives me the power to do it. I don't have to do it, but I'm attuned to Him. I'm sensitive. I'm soft to Him, and I won't do it. So does the idea of letting go and allowing God to have full possession make you nervous? It does me sometimes. I remember I used to think when I was a kid, I remember this distinct thing. I was about 8 years old. I was laying on my bed, and I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me. I had no understanding of this, right? But I do now, looking back. But I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, would you give your life to me completely? And I thought, the first thing I thought He'd do, He'd make me a priest and send me to Siberia or somewhere. And I remember I panicked, but I knew it was God. I knew it was God. And I freaked out. And I remember going outside and seeing my mum and saying to my mum, if God asks you, do you have to do everything He asks you to do? And she's going, she didn't understand the context. She goes, oh, yeah, but whatever He asks you to do, He gives you the grace to do. And I was terrified. I was terrified that He'd make me do something that I didn't want to do. But see, what I didn't understand, when I'm in relationship with Jerry, I love being with her. I love it when she does things that I don't like because I love being with her presence, in her presence. You get it? And that's what happens with God. Whatever He calls you to do, when you're in His presence, you love it. The martyrs used to get tortured with a smile on their face. One of the martyrs I read, they put him on the ground. They put rocks on top of him and they were crushing him. And he was calling out, more rocks, more rocks. Because he knew he'd be ushered into full presence of God. He had no fear. because he was in relationship with God. It's amazing what he does. See, this is what it is. These are the fears, the things we think that hold us. Anyway, third question. Do you want to make the Holy Spirit the central character in your life? And what that does is this. If the Holy Spirit's the central character, who's the Holy Spirit draw attention to? Jesus. So that means Jesus becomes Lord of your life. That means whatever Jesus wants, you'll do. Now, how does that work practically? All the major decisions you have in your life, you're going to seek God first. What he wants you to do. You're seeking his will above your will for all the major decisions. Now, the first or second question I said, God's a father and he has your best interest at heart. As you come to rest in that, that's what Jesus does. When you make him Lord, then what he does, he starts to steer your life to fulfill the destiny that he's called for you. And it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. And he empowers you with his life to achieve what he's asked you to do. So that's the third question. The last one is this. Self-will in the Christian life, self-effort, trying to live the Christian life in our own strength is not sufficient. You can't do it. And the other thing is, are you willing to offer up your effort and a fresh surrender to God and ask him to help you to live the Christian life? And what will happen is the Holy Spirit will fill you. Now, it doesn't have to be a power encounter or anything. My brother surrendered his heart to God like this. They prayed over him for the baptism of the Holy Spirit or for the Holy Spirit. Nothing happened. But the next day when he woke up, he couldn't put a cigarette in his mouth. He just could not do it because there was an internal change in him. That's what it is. See, it's not in the senses. It may come into the senses, but it's not. But it's more the act of the desire of the will. So can we just stand, and then if I can get a song, and then we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come. Now, what happens is I believe that the Holy Spirit will come, and God wants us, the whole thing of the purpose of the night was, again, it's trying to go, we live by the Spirit, but God wants us to walk with him. It's a big difference. It's a big difference. Do I have to get close to God? No, he's already in my heart. Do I have to be sensitive to him? Yes, that's the key. Do I want to be sensitive to him? Well, if I tell you my life, yes and no. Sometimes I do. When I'm preaching, I do. I want to be sensitive to him because otherwise, if he doesn't show up, I'm in big trouble. You know, that. But sometimes I don't. Like, that's the reality. That's the choice. But what happens is, as I start to attune my desire to him, he starts to move in power and he changes me. He gives me ability that I never thought possible. He does things in my life that I never thought were possible or could do on my own strength. So what we want to do, we just want to pray. And what I want to